Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This is our week in IndyCar. It's not the listener Q&A show. This is our driver interview show. And who do we have? One of our favorite people. Called him Chicago Dave back in the day. Then it became Lil Dave. And I don't know what we call you now, Davey Malukas. But I do know this. You sure have a lot of people who love you, care about you, and have been very sad to see what has taken place recently. Appreciate you saying, yeah, hey, let's talk. Let's talk about it. You've always been a open book. So here you are, my man. A couple days after formal parting of ways with Arrow McLaren. I know we're going to talk a lot about the future and where you're going or where you hope to go, but tell folks how you're doing right now.
I'm doing good. You know, first of all, thank you for obviously having me. But I'm doing good. Honestly, you know, I'm somebody who's just online all the time, everywhere. So, you know, and for me, it's very hard to stay away from it. But, you know, I wasn't really knowing what to expect when I went on. But honestly, it was amazing going online. There's so much love, so much support. It's crazy how many people are on my side and waiting for me to get back. So it made me feel really good, got me super motivated. You know, of course, when the whole situation went down, I got sad, I got a little bit emotional, but, you know, looking online, I picked myself up and now I'm super motivated. I got the cast off. As soon as I came back from Barber on Monday, I went to the docs, saw the scans, and they're like, you know what, you're good to go. So I've been freehand, just building up strength again and doing some little bit of movement, getting all the stretching back. So things are looking happy. I'm just really happy because I have a hand back. So I can actually like clean dishes and like do simple life things.
Hashtag freehand Dave, right? Wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's my new name, freehand Dave.
Coming to a racetrack near you, freehand Dave.
Exactly, freehand Dave.
Tell me about this interaction with the folks at Arrow McLaren. There were signals that this might be headed in this direction, Davey, and I can tell you just getting a feel from some folks, there was a lot of sorrow that, boy, we really wanted this to work out. And I know you probably can't say everything in total candor, but there were obviously many of your fans who were displeased that the relationship was severed after Barber. Do you let any of that sink in? You've never struck me as someone to carry resentment, bitter, whatever with you going forward, but it never feels good, whether it's the person you're dating that says, hey, it's not you, it's me, or it is you, or who knows what, but a severing of a relationship is never easy to go through. Tell me about that side. Are you reconciling this?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been tough. You know, when the injury first happened, of course, you know, the team was definitely on my side and it was all very good. But when the injury started taking longer than expected, you know, I kind of had feeling that this would maybe come to this pass. So kind of had, you know, time to prepare for it, to get ready for when this would eventually happen. Now, with obviously everything that's, you know, listen, there's a lot of emotions from it and from my side and, you know, just making all the relationships and the team and everybody there, it's been really good. And I made a lot of new friends along the way. And it's definitely, I think at the end of the day, it's just no hard feelings. I think it's just business is business. And it was my fault. I obviously had the injury outside of the car before the season started. And, you know, it's just put obviously it was tough for me, but also it was tough on the team, you know, coming from sponsors and all that stuff. It's very hard and it's just issues that they had to deal with. So I understand why it all happened. So I don't really have hard feelings for it. It's just obviously disappointing. I think from their side, from my side, we really wanted to see it happen, to see it come true and for actually to get on track and to get some performance going. So from my side, that's the way I look at it. You know, there's nothing like that I'm going to kind of hold resentment towards. For me, honestly, I'm going to use it to just motivate me. You know, I've never been more motivated in my life to get this hand back to 100%, to get myself at 100%, and to reach my potential. And, you know, when you go through hard moments like this, it kind of makes me think, you know, what is the reasoning for it all? You know, why is this happening? And I feel like that my reasoning for it is just so I can finally reach my true potential that I feel like I need to hit. I think I had to go through something like this so I can be, to be motivated, to be disciplined, and to get there.
Time to say a big thank you to our show partners on the Marshall Pruitt podcast, starting with Pfaff Technologies, build-to-print composites manufacturing company. They're specializing in medium to large-scale automotive, motorsports, and military applications. Visit pfafftechnologies.com. It's P-F-A-F-F technologies.com to learn more about their services and how they can benefit your business. Next, it's the Justice Brothers, makers of premium additives, lubricants, and cleaners, and servicing the automotive and motorsports industries for more than 85 years, with victories in all the biggest North American motor races, including the Indianapolis 500, the 24 Hours of Daytona. The Justice Brothers products are truly race-proven. Learn about their vast history and range of offerings at justicebrothers.com. If you're fond of awesome motor racing collectibles, including Pfaff Motorsports McLaren gear and goodies, pay a visit to torontomotorsports.com. And finally, we have a new online merchandise home for the podcast, thepruittstore.com, for all the show stickers, models, racing memorabilia I'm trying to sell and put towards our fund to buy a house is now live and rocking. ThePruittStore.com. For those who might not know the story, and you've told this plenty of times, but I always realize that someone might be learning about this for the first time in the podcast, can you share with folks that you were not indeed trying to jump the Grand Canyon on your mountain bike? You weren't trying to do a 1080 tabletop, this, that, and the other, and be Mr. Danger Action Extreme Sports guy. This, as you told me and have told others, was actually a fairly mundane thing when you crashed. So just to maybe couch things a little bit, not you acting wildly irresponsible, getting injured and having this happen, but as you told me, I really wasn't trying to do anything the least bit dangerous or flamboyant when I happened to crash.
For me, I've been mountain biking for many years now, and it's something that I'm not just mountain biking, just trail biking in general, just any sort of biking, I've always done it. And it's been something that I find actually very helpful from like a physical standpoint and also from a mental standpoint that I feel like can relate to a lot to racing. So for me, it was honestly, it's just something I do more for like a physical aspect to get ready for races. So, and obviously knowing that the season's coming up, I very much took great care in the pass that I took, and I took the green route, which what it was called over there. So it's just an easy trail. And what ended up happening, my friend, he's the one doing the jumps. So I'm watching him do the jumps. And then I look forward and I have a little bit of a bend coming. End up hitting the front brake instead of the rear brake, which was awesome. So I flew over the front bars. But the thing is, I wasn't even going that fast, but flew over the bars. And then when I go down, I obviously stick my hands out to go catch myself. And on my left wrist, hit the side of it right on a rock. And that's what kind of dislocated and moved the whole wrist. And that was it. It was just like super unfortunate. And it was just one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm going to be careful and not try to crash, and I end up crashing. So it was just one of those moments where your brain switches off for a few seconds, and I just hit the front brake. It was really, really dumb. And that's kind of what was like hurt even more, you know, because it was something that was just really dumb from my side, you know, just like switching my brain off for a second like that, and an incident like that happens. So,
Well, now we get to call you Freehand Dave on the way to returning to race car driving, Davey. Let's talk about that side. So obviously within the family empire there, which includes a mighty fine place to eat if you so desired, the HMD Bar and Grill, there is the mighty HMD Motorsports Indian XT team. I don't know what your plan is recuperation wise getting ready to drive again here in the future, but I do wonder if even if it's just a limited number of laps, the idea of doing a test in one of the HMD lights cars or something might be the first step here at some point in time in the future. But what are you thinking at least? I don't know if you've mapped all this out yet and you still got to wait for more healing to happen, but what are you thinking for getting back on the proverbial horse?
Honestly, the road to recovery. So that's what I've been kind of figuring out the past few days. So when it comes to what car we're going to obviously test to get the IndyCar clearance, that's still a bit of an unknown, but we're working on what's going to be that. Coming from actually from the team side, the team are still supporting me. They're letting me, you know, helping me with the training side and to making sure that I'm still getting that support for the next few weeks, just to make sure everything is good. Arrow McLaren. And so going forth right now, I mean, the initial plan was, because I didn't get told that, you know, I was leaving the team until right after the race at Barber. And of course, I mean, TK did the article a few days before that. I was discussing how the team was still with me. And that's when I talked with him, that was kind of the word that I got. So it all kind of came to a shock to me. So actually still at Barber, we were heavily in the belief of, you know, working for the 500. And that's what the goal was. Obviously we didn't want to go out and say it, you know, publicly and create another timeline and possibly not hit it. But it was a pretty strong goal that we were trying to hit for the 500. But now that I was that this isn't happening, and now I can actually just take my time. Talked with obviously all the doctors and MPT. So the new timeline for the hands to be pretty much back to 100 is somewhere probably around mid June, just because now there's no need to rush. So mid June is kind of what we're aiming for, and just kind of figuring out exactly what workouts and what things to do to get there.
I love the sound of that, Davey. So I rang your friend and mine, the amazing IndyCar entrant Dale Coyne, rang him Monday morning. Now, the news had gone out about the parting ways with Arrow McLaren. That wasn't the reason for my call to Dale. But he picked up and basically said, "No, I haven't spoken to Malukas yet." I'm like, "Nope, no worries." And he said, "You know, I mean, I wouldn't mind talking to him, of course, but no, I haven't." I'm like, that wasn't actually the reason for the call, but since you raised the topic, Dale, I look within the paddock at least, and I'm sure you've done the same. We have a bunch of full-time entries that are absolutely filled up and down the grid, with the exception of one car at one team, that being the number 51 Honda at Dale Coyne Racing. We know that they have drivers planned for that car through the Indy 500. I don't believe they have everything mapped out exactly afterwards as to who's going to drive that car for the remainder of the year. Not asking you to confirm or talk about any conversations you might have had with Dale since, but if I'm thinking of, is there a car and a way for Davey to get back on the grid this year and just kind of get back into the routine, that's the one and only one I can find. Is that a motivation, brother, to race this year? Or have you transitioned your mindset to finding the best new home for 2025?
You know, it's a good question. It's something that, you know, we've been thinking about, you know, coming in these past few days. But so far, I have not talked to Dale about that yet, or have really had any talks on it. I think for right now, we're just going to focus on just getting this hand back. And then once it's back to 100%, then we kind of start figuring out what we want to do and what the game plan is going to be. Just for now, though, it's a little bit too early to say and too early to talk about it until I think I actually have a hand and can get to that point.
So if there was one bit of tragedy at Barber, it was the fact that you were not competing in the race when Georgina fell down, the mannequin fell down.
Oh, I know.
Off of the bridge. That was my first thought. The first one was actually, holy crap, that's insane, because she's been up there for years and for years and years. The timing is impeccable of her falling down onto the track. But my other thought, the second one, was if ever there was a more perfect situation for the meme king of IndyCar, Davey Malukas, to be on track and drive by that, I feel like we missed out on a pretty big one here. So I don't know about you, but if you were made for that situation, but maybe they can do it in next year's race for you. Maybe you can catch Georgina when you're driving by.
I would have turned on my Oscar performance for that one. Georgina, no. I would have got really into it, really emotional for that one. No, I was laughing from the side, obviously, of course. Then after the race, I get the announcements, and I got really upset. So then I was like, man, you know, it would be funny. My first tweet back after they do the whole thing is I just tweet about Georgina and just, you know what,
me and her were going through the same thing. I can feel, I understand the feeling.
Davey Malukas, we love you. I do appreciate that. Look, you're the same guy. You're the same kid. You've gone through. Yeah, this has been tough, right? I mean, let's not lie. Beyond the physical rehabilitation side and the setbacks, and then the end of this relationship here in the driving side, I know it's been tough, but you've also approached this with the same kind of grace and humor you've demonstrated since you got into IndyCar. And this was a big deal. I wrote about this somewhere, I think. This was the first big validation and leveling up for you in IndyCar after two impressive seasons with a kind of a midfield team like Coyne. This was a much bigger team saying, we believe in you, come drive for us, let's see where we can go together. I know that with that team is not going to continue forward, but I do absolutely believe you have another opportunity waiting you at a bigger front-running team here in the near future. How do you go about that side, Davey? Because I don't know if Michael Andretti is going to put another car in the field here anytime soon, but he should be thinking of you and Chip Ganassi and Team Penske. Run down the list. There are a lot of really good teams that should be thinking about you. Do you talk to them? Do you crack open that door here about the future, or do you just try and focus on getting healed first?
You know, for sure, I think I'll be going to the races in the future and obviously showing myself around and being there. And we'll figure out when the time comes and when would be the good time to talk. Of course, it still is very early days to even have any sort of convos like that. But when it comes down to the whole situation, you know, for me, I was obviously so excited. Like you said, it was a big opportunity. And for me, it was kind of like a dream come true. You know, finally, I get my opportunity to be with a big team. And I ended up messing that all up, you know, and it was tough. But like I said, I had time to think about it, and you could honestly see it coming that this was a possibility. So mentally got prepared for it. And honestly, you know, you can't get better without setbacks. And this was a pretty big setback for sure. But I'm looking on the positive standpoint, looking at the future. And I really do believe that this probably has to happen. If things have to happen, this had to happen. And I'm looking from the better side of things. So we'll see what we can do. We'll talk with some people, see what's going on, and hopefully we can get a good ride for next year.
I saw an inspirational t-shirt somewhere yesterday, and I thought of you. It said, setbacks before comebacks. So maybe that's the...
That's a good one.
What?
I'll add it to the merch shop. I'm working on the merch shop. I'll add it to the merch shop. I like that one.
That's right.
My favorite quote, you know, my... use and will forever always comes to those who wait, Marshall.
Patience?
And yes.
Patience comes and, no, and, or cookies come to
no,
people
greatness.
Who wait. Greatness. I misunderstood.
Greatness.
Sorry, I thought you said cookies.
Greatness comes to those who wait, Marshall, and cookies. I mean, I do love a good chocolate chip cookie, but so that's kind of been my motto. You know what? I'm waiting a long time, but you know, what's a little bit more?
It wouldn't be a Malukas and Pruitt interview without signing off in a very standard capacity. And I guess talking to you makes me think of food. I already mentioned cookies. You also told us not so long ago, I think it's St. Pete, there's some magical healing properties one can find, but only at one restaurant on the planet. Why don't you take us home, Davey Malukas, and tell us where this magical place exists?
Yes. You know, for somebody looking out there to build some strength, to get the assistance on building the strength, building movement, the comebacks, if you ever have want a good comeback story, HMD Bar and Grill, guys, that's where you're going to find it. When I tell you eat this food, it will be transformative. You will turn into a new person. You'll finally reach that person you become, like a Pokemon. You level up. You are now become the ultimate person you're meant to be, and you can get that feeling at the H&E Bar and Grill. Guaranteed. I'm telling you, the food is impeccable. It is amazing.
You get to turn into Pokemon if you eat at the H&B Bar and Grill.
Not turn into Pokemon. You get to level up like a Pokemon does,
well,
you know?
I might have misinterpreted, or that might have been a little bit of fantasy in my head. So I never said I was a good listener. Davey, appreciate you for taking some time here. It was genuinely, it was a blast, and it was a little mini honor last year. I think it was the Saturday at Laguna Seca where we did your first interview as an Arrow McLaren person in your gear, hid your gear running up the stairs above the media center and did that all top secret so we could have that ready for the following day. Not saying I'm going to get to do your first interview with your next big team, but no doubt that you will indeed get back to where you belong. Thanks for doing this, brother, and can't wait to see you here the month of May once we get to Indianapolis.
Yes, thank you very much, Marshall. Thank you for having me, and of course, for all the memories we've created, and I'll be around, so 500 or whatever, we can maybe do, we can do some video. We can review the races now.
Yes, yes, deal.
We'll deal. Do race reviews.
Oh, no. We're going to get banned so quickly, but Davey, freehand Dave, go about your world. Do those dishes. I can just only imagine the other areas of life where having both hands available is now a really good thing, so... go forth, be fruitful and prosper, and we'll speak to you here soon.